since before time began, God set time in motion. Before there was ever an existence, God was. Now, that goes so deep for us that we said we can't understand it. And I remind you, as I have over all of these years, when you get to the point in your life where you figured God out, you've been serving the wrong God. God does not think like man. God is the creator of mankind. But God saw you, saw me, saw all of who would ever exist before time existed. And we said, you know, that's too deep. Well, that's God. But God spoke of a time to come when all the human race would be more blessed than at any other time in history. And that time that he spoke of came about some 2,000 years ago. For all the prophets told about that time would come. They knew what the Holy Spirit was telling them, and they preached what God had given them to preach. They longed, the scripture said, to see it, but they would not. It was a time that was going to be so special in the heart of God. For when he created man, he saw evil in the heart of man in the Garden of Eden. And from that point where sin entered man, the human race, God had set in motion prior to it a time for his son to be born. And that particular time of the birth of his son was only known in the mind of God, but the prophets preached it as though it had already happened. Because if God had willed it, then you count it as already happening. God will for whoever calls on his name to be in heaven with him. And he says to us, count on it. You're already here. See, that's God's will. And God's will was given to you and me as a gift that first Christmas morning. Oh, yes, the prophet said, it's coming. It's coming. Can you imagine how many prayers they prayed? Lord, do I get to see it? Can I see the coming of the age of the church? Your body in human form, united together, walking together, representing your son. But it was not to be. They were to tell the story of to come. And they were to look at that story. Because they knew that at that church generation when it began, that it would only be the church that was so important to God. We, look at us folks, we're the family of God, saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, his son. What greater gift could the human race receive than the gift of the ultimate love, to where God said, I will pour my spirit out into the human race. I will be their God. They will be my people. I will never leave them. I'll never forsake them. You and I get to be a part of this generation. The ultimate call. The ultimate will of God. And why? Well, all the heavenly hosts looked on. They were amazed. But they were amazed at the love that God was getting ready to show the human race. The ultimate gift. And he said, you know, the peace I'm going to give you is not a peace like the world's going to give you. I'm going to give you a peace that lasts throughout eternity. I'll give you more than peace of mind. I'll give you a new mind. I'll give you more than the strength of heart. I'll give you a new heart. I'll give you more and more and more. Well, you know, Brother Randy, they ought to have a song, More About Jesus. More and more. When you say yes to Jesus Christ, expect more. When you say, I believe, expect more. When you say, I can't imagine how much greater it could feel or be, expect more. For eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor hath it entered the heart of man, the love that God is getting ready to pour out on us. Well, now, Brother Laird, didn't he pour it out? Yeah. When does he pour out more? When you accept more. You know, I've always said when I was asked a question, if God was going to ask you any question, what do you think that question would be? And my answer was, Larry, why didn't you let me bless you more? Why didn't you let me bless you more? You and I miss out on so many blessings because we ignore them. Do you know that person beside of you loves you? Do you know that they're a blessing to you? Do you know that you're a blessing to them and to everyone else? Do you realize God doesn't make junk? When God created the human race, He created the human race in His image. That ain't bad. The image of God. And God says, because I've created you in my image, Merry Christmas, church. Here is the ultimate of love. And God sends His only begotten Son. It was His first Christmas gift. Now, you will never receive a better gift than you received in Jesus Christ. That's the ultimate of everything that exists. That's the ultimate of everything you see and what is not seen. The greatest blessing you have in your life, my friend, is not something you see. Even that person around you. Oh, you think that they're the greatest thing right now since peanut butter? Where'd the peanut butter come from? I'm choosing peanut butter fudge in case you all aren't getting a hint on this. But you think that love is great now? You haven't seen anything yet. That love will only grow, will only spread. The love that Christ gave us on that first Christmas morning 2,000 years ago, it's getting better with our age. Jesus doesn't age. Do you know what God said is the same yesterday, today, and forever? When you said yes to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, don't you believe that reflection in the mirror? You have not aged. That wrinkle you're looking at really isn't there. Just on the body. And let your pastor cheer you up. Don't worry about it. You get enough of them, you're going to be in the ground pretty soon anyway, so don't worry about it. That's all right. I want to cheer folk up on Christmas. You know, Jesus said to me, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, and don't you worry, you're never going to die. How much more of a Christmas do I want? What greater gift would I ask for? Not only that, that person I'm talking about that's around you that you love so dear and your heart is out for them so much, do you know that gets better? You mean with age? No, I mean with eternity. See, you and I need to think above age. We need to think above time. We need to think about God's eternity. There's no such thing as age. Well, there's no such thing as crying. And no, I don't know where folk get this, but I don't see anywhere in Scripture where it says, but those are happy tears. No, I do see in Scripture there'll be no tears. Not needed. That's a human emotion. Man, we got them now, though, don't we? We can cry at the drop of a pen. Somebody can say boo, and we start crying. Somebody will look at us and we'll start crying. Somebody will walk away from us and we'll start crying. Sometimes that's with joy, I guess. But think of it this way. God said, I'm going to give you the first Christmas gift. And I'm going to do this gift right. Because never will anyone be able to match the gift that I'm giving you this first Christmas morning. That gift was unspeakable. No words to describe the greatness of this gift. Because God just so loved. It was a gift unspeakable and full of glory, Brother Randy. 2 Corinthians 9:15. Thanks be to God for His gift that is too wonderful for words. Too wonderful for words. What a gift. Too wonderful for words. Unspeakable. Glorified by God. You and I need to understand that as God touches our heart and our life, that we need to know that His love for us is unspeakable. See, it goes to the depth of who God is. And the Scripture says God is love. God loves me. He loves me like I am. What greater gift could I get? God knows me. He's the only one that truly does know me. He knows me. He knows what's broken in me. He knows what He's going to fix and He knows what He's going to leave alone. But the unspeakable joy that I need to accept on that love. Larry, I just love you. What did He give? The good news of great joy. Good news. I like good news. You like good news? Yep. I don't like bad news. I don't like secrets. People say, I have a secret and I'm keeping it. I don't like secrets. Don't want them. Never did like secrets. Just tell me. I don't want to wait to read the book. Tell me how it ends. If I like how it ends, I'll read it. If I don't, I ain't reading it. You just wasted your time reading it. So therefore, God says, I'm going to give you the good news of great joy. Don't have to guess at it. It's good news, great joy. Luke 2, verse 10, He's talking to the shepherds. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. Who's all the people? Whosoever will let him come. I will present myself to you, says God, and whosoever will let him come on your own free will. Not tricked to come, not forced to come. Let him come freely. And when you freely come to Christ, Christ freely gives to you. He has already given you freely His life. I didn't deserve anything Christ did for me. I don't deserve anything He continues to do for me. But He does it anyway. Because you see, my human condition does not control God's love for me. Larry, I didn't love you. Lord, I've been told I'm not that lovable. Yep. From the human condition, you're probably not very lovable. That's not what I'm saying. I love you. And you know what? I'll spend, 70, 80 years. Boy, I'm already caught up over that one. I better watch it. That much time here on planet Earth. But I'll be in eternity in heaven. No time limit. God says, I guarantee you, because you believe in me and you accepted me as your first Christmas gift, you will be with me through eternity. No more pain, no more dying, no more suffering, no more crying, no more hatred, no more bitterness, no more anything that is evil. Only thing that's going to affect you is that which I have glorified. Now, I call that good living. Right? That's good living. Amen. And that's eternal living. I mean, death has no authority. The grave has no sting or hold. Nothing in the human existence is going to stop God's love for you, and you are going to be at eternal peace and joy through Jesus, your first Christmas gift. How much more would we ever want? Well, you know, I'd like peace right now. Jesus said, I'm leaving you, but I'm leaving you with a peace that surpasses all understanding. Well, if I don't have that peace, whose fault is it? Me. Been offered to me. Jesus offered himself for my salvation, and I accepted. Why would I not accept his gift of peace now? I can have it. I'm not going to let other people control me. I am not going to let their situations take charge of my life. And that's what you do when you find yourself down in the ditch. You allow everybody around you to control you. If they want to be miserable, let them be miserable. You do what you can to cheer them up, and if they don't want it, and if it's pulling you down, then get away from it. Well, you got to hang in there. You do not cast your pearls before the swine. You do not take the holiness of God and allow it to be mocked in public. You get away from it. If you're involved in the cesspool, get away from the cessspool. Because that smell is going to be on you. You may go in it and come out of it, but you still stinketh. And the Lord says, I give you great joy. Good news. You don't have to live like that. And in that, live in Christ. Live in me. When is this going to happen? Going to happen in God's time. God's time. All of these people telling you when the Lord's coming again, get away from them too, because they have no idea what they're talking about. Is he coming back? Yes. How do I know that? The Bible tells me so. The same Bible that tells me that God loves me and so loved me that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should never perish but have everlasting life. Same book. I believe it. I believe it. But when the full, this is Galatians 4, verses 4 and 5. I broke it down for us. But when the fullness of the time came. Now I want you to look at the article, the, there. I want you to look. When the fullness of the time came. The right time. The time for this. There is the time for me to be born. There is the time for me to die. There is the time for all actions of God. And God says, but the time for you to come to me is when you hear me calling you. Don't you hesitate. You come. When you hear my voice, you come. Like the sheep will come to the shepherd. For in that voice is love. In that voice is protection. The first and greatest gift would ever receive. When the time was right, God's time came. Who was it? God sent forth his Son. His Son. That's the who. His Son is the hope. His Son is the joy. God said, I just so love you. You got to catch it. I will always be with you. You know, we have in our English language from generation to generation, we have these little beginning sentence grunts, groans, and words that drive me completely crazy. I remember in speech class, because in my day it was, you know, you'd get ready to start a sentence, no, Mr. Vance, don't use the Oh is not in the speech. Well, it's in my speech. Oh is not there. Oh, before you talk. Well, you know what it is today? So. Oh. Drives me up the wall. A question is asked, what do they say? So, that's how you start the sentence. So here's what I'm going to, what I think. So, here's what happened. So, why the so? God said, I just so love you. Maybe they're getting scriptural, Brother Randy. But those words, it's just thrown in. It has no meaning. It's just a way to start a sentence. God's so has meaning. I so love you. I so love the world that I gave. Are you getting the key here? When you so love, you give. Not take. You give. You want to see the eyes of the children twinkle. You want to see the smiles. You want to hear the laughter. You want to hear the giggling of the babies. I love it. You want to hear that peace. And God says, I want you to hear it from me. I happen to be the who in your life. How's that gift coming? Human birth. God had to come incarnate as his son. He had to do that to feel the human existence. He had to feel your pain. People will tell you all the time, I feel your pain. Oh, you just want to reach up and hug them. They don't feel your pain. You are the only one that feels your pain. I can't feel your pain. But I know the one who can, because he felt it. He knows your name. He knows your pain. He has a stripe on his body. A stripe on his body that has your name on it. He knew your name before anybody knew your name. Before you ever had a name, he knew your name. And he says, I love you so much. So, here's what we're going to do with it. He said, I'm going to give my son to you as a sacrifice. The law of the Old Testament, the law had to be fulfilled. It had to be completed. Somebody had to do it right. But nobody could do it right. And the most of those nobodies that could do it right really didn't try. So God came, incarnate, God in human form, to get it right for you and me. Said, I just love you. So, born of a woman, born under the law. Jesus did not come to do away with the law. He said, I've come to complete it for you. No man had ever kept the law. All were lawbreakers, except for Jesus. And he said, I do it for you. Because I'm ushering in my time, says Jesus. The church age. The generation in which you live. The generation, the only generation that has ever existed where God's promise was, I will pour my spirit in you and my spirit will not leave you. When you accept me, you've accepted me through eternity. I will never leave nor forsake you. Merry Christmas. I paid your debt in full. My blood, my pain, my agony, your cross, I conquer it. So you don't have to go there. I conquer hell so you won't have to feel its power. I conquer all evil, sickness and all, that I am in charge and you are my people. I am your God. Merry Christmas, folks. How much more do we want? God says it's unspeakable. what I'm giving to you. It's the good news. Great joy. I want you to understand it. A good news of eternal life with me. I'll do it in my time. I'll do it with my son. And I'll conquer it in the human method. Because the law was set up for the human race. It had to be conquered by a human being. And the only being that could conquer it is the being of Christ Jesus, my Lord. And he said, I've conquered it for you. Why? Why? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Why? Because he wanted to redeem us as sons and daughters. We're the part of the family of God. When you say yes to Jesus, you are my brother, you are my sister. Age doesn't mean anything, because there's no such thing as age with God, only with the human race. So that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. The adoption. You know, in the spiritual realm, there's no male or female. You know that. It's all the family of God. There's no such thing as that. We are spiritual beings that have a human body. Some of us are in the male body. Some of us are in the female body. And some people have no idea what they're in. But it's a fact. God does. And he has placed inside of us a love and a joy unspeakable and full of glory. That you and I have been given a gift so precious. His name is Jesus. That it's not the hard times ahead or the bad times behind that I have to focus on. It's the eternal time. You and I get to be with each other forever. It's what I tell you. You might as well get used to each other right now. As a Christian, you're going to spend eternity with each other. So get over it and get used to each other. And start loving. But the love you're going to have is going to be unspeakable. It reaches beyond what we think humanly possible. For it happens to contain the love of God. Jesus loves me so much that he died for me. But think of it this way. I want you to go a little different now. Jesus Christ loves us so much that the Scriptures tells us he came from heaven to dwell among men. Now, it wasn't something pushed on him. Jesus is God incarnate. Jesus was with God the Father in heaven, and he came to earth to suffer the human condition. For the greatest of all generations, bar none, is the generation of the church age. Well, do you know the Scripture says we are so close to the Lord as Christians during the church age, during this period of a gift from God? Do you know we're the first to be resurrected? Not the prophets of old. Not all the wisdom we heard from old. Not those that are coming during the tribulation period. No! The church, first of the resurrection. Because we are the first to receive the total indwelling of the Holy Spirit that would dwell in us. Once he came in, he would not leave. Throughout the whole Testament, the Spirit of God would go upon his people. And he would indwell them for a time, for something that needed to be done. It was Holy Spirit power for that prophet, and the word was given. And then he would leave. Not the church age. Not us. He said, I'm living with you forever. Oh, by the way, Larry, you're living with me forever too. Merry Christmas. Well, all right then. Merry Christmas. is exactly what I feel. The greatest of love, the greatest offer of peace, the greatest gift, the joy of each other. Listen, Ida, listen, folks, you're going to be around your families during this Christmas season. And you're going to have particular individuals in that big family gathering that you don't really care that much about being very close to. You want to sort of stay at a hands or arms difference distance. Sometimes you want to stay a half mile away. And you always tell, just like you tell the pastor, "Pastor, I can't make it next Sunday, but I'll be there in spirit." And well, we need one more haint floating around in the church. The Lord says, "I love you. I will give to you. What I give to you will not leave you. I am going to indwell you. And when I indwell you, I'm sticking with you. No matter where you go, I'm going." Oh, gosh. Really, Lord? Yep. Now, Larry, I'm going to tell you not to go there, but if you go, I'm going. You're taking me with you. No, I'll leave my Bible in the truck. That Bible ain't me. It's my word. I indwell you. Merry Christmas, folks. Because it don't get better than that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise your holy name for your great love. Touch each of us now, Father, as we reach to the depth of who we are. And who we are, Heavenly Father, is your children. Thank you for loving us so much. Give us strength, courage, and boldness now, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.